James chapter 3. This first verse is an interesting one, only because you can take this verse and interpret it in your own way. And it says, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we will receive a stricter judgment. And God wants us to go out and teach. He wants us to go out and present the gospel. Somebody was talking to me a little while back about my unqualified status to be a pastor. And I said, well, am I qualified to share the gospel? Because I'm commanded by God to share the gospel. And they said, oh yeah, everybody needs to share the gospel. And I said, well, that's all I'm doing. I said, it's a reality. This church has not voted on me yet. There's not been an official appointment. But just sharing the word, the idea about being a teacher, as long as you're teaching the right thing, that's what this verse is about. It's not about don't teach. It's about if you're not going to teach the Bible, don't teach. And we don't want a whole bunch of different visions and versions and teachings. And well, I remember, boy, one of the worst church services I've ever been to, it was really, there's a couple of them. And whenever a church says they're going to bring in other religions to get their, you know, and then we'll share what Jesus has to say, but we're going to have a Hindu man and a Sikh person and a, it just doesn't work. There's too many teachers. And so Matthew 28:19, on the first page, there's a lot of verses about teaching. It says, go therefore and make disciples of the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you even to the end of the age. So what we're to teach is what God has commanded. We're to teach the word. This is not a TED talk. It's not a personal, you know, this is one of the issues that we have with social media. Everybody has access or ability to just share whatever they want, whether it's followers on TikTok or Twitter or YouTube, whatever it might be. So there's all kinds of, you know, God is not the author of confusion. And there's too many teachers. If they're all teaching just the book, it would be okay. But most of them are just teaching their feelings and opinions. Matthew 5:19, whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. Whatever does and teaches them, he'll be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So if you want to go against God and teach that, for example, there are a multitude of LGBT churches that are growing and multitudes of unification churches. You know what a unification church is? Everything's good. All religions are welcome here. And a lot of... you know, I heard this one the other day from Andy Stanley, who is Charles Stanley's son, who you would think would be really strong, and he is not. He's very against the scriptures. It's really, so he read a verse the other day. It said that Jesus says, all authority is given to me. And he says, our only authority is Jesus. Paul's not our authority. Peter's not our authority. Matthew's not our authority. He says, so quit holding the Bible up like it's something to be worshipped. Jesus is to be worshipped, and he has the only authority. So I don't know if he just means we only read the red letters or what. But the Bible says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And so to teach men that the commandments of God are wrong, God says you'll be least in the kingdom of heaven. James 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Teaching and admonishing one another. I don't think that's in James. I think it's Timothy. And the other, James 4:2, I think that's 1 Timothy 4:2 also. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. So there's all kinds of scriptures that command us to teach. But if you're going to teach, teach the right thing, because you're going to be held accountable for what's coming out of your mouth. The Bible says time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, which they have itching ears, they'll heap up for themselves teachers, and they'll turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Those are very, very popular churches that do fables and stay away from the word. But our responsibility is 1 Timothy 2:2, the things that you've heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. This is a reality. And Carol, when you say that you know you're getting closer to seeing Jesus, there's truth to that with a lot of people in this ministry. It's true with myself, and it's true with Don, it's true with Larry. And so that's where you come in. That's where the young people come in, those who have gone through Awana and those who we are training. Because, you know, I was flabbergasted, Larry, absolutely flabbergasted when Ruth shared this week that her and Richard were having their 17th wedding anniversary. That one got to me. I remember that wedding day. And
yeah, I remember the missed trip to Mexico.
Well, well, it doesn't, the time that's passed, that's just time is a vapor. What hits me when that happens is, man, where will I be 17 years from now? Because that went so fast. You know, well, that'll be 80s for me. And so anyway, this verse comes into practice. I have begun to think about that transition from to the next person. This church has only had two pastors. So the mode of operation of going from this pastor to the next, you know, maybe the Lord will do for me what he did for Jim and just take me home and not have to worry about it, you know. And I have no intentions of going anywhere for the next 5 to 10 years or so. But 17 years, boy, that'll be something. Hebrews 5:12, for though by this time you ought to be teachers. So the criticism to those in the Hebrews that they weren't teaching enough. And he says, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you've come to need milk and not solid food. This particular crowd here tonight, the crowd that comes to Wednesday evenings and Sunday evenings, they're ready to be teachers. Those that only come Sunday morning and don't read enough during the week, there's a very slow growth there. But by you having gone through so half of the Old Testament and a lot of the New Testament, the whole counsel of God, that's why you guys are able to teach. That's why you're able to, and that's where you're at, whether it's through Awana or Sunday school or whatever it might be. That's what we're trying to do. So kudos to you for sure. Let's look at verse 2. So he takes this idea of teaching and then now connects it to what comes out of your mouth. That if you're going to, we have to watch our mouth because it gets us in trouble. And for we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, He is a perfect or mature man, able to bridle the whole body. So the tongue, obviously, you know, I'm not a violent person. I don't remember ever getting in a fight. I don't remember ever doing that. I remember paying Jeff McKibben 50 cents every day not to beat me up in my freshman and sophomore year in high school. It doesn't bother me just because I still remember his name when I'm 65 years old. Doesn't mean anything. But I tell you, I have been violent with my tongue. I have been, when I was younger, you know, that I have a little bit of a wit about me at times, but sometimes that gets you in trouble. And when I wasn't a Christian, it wasn't used for good. You know, be used to say things that were smart alecky and mean-spirited. So the God says in verse 3, indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look at the ships. Although they're so large, they are driven by fierce winds, yet they are turned by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Those two illustrations, boy, they're perfect. The idea of a horse or a ship that is turned right way or the wrong way by such a little piece of part of their body or part of their boat. And for us, this tongue, it is a dangerous thing. It is a dangerous thing. And some of the things got worked out this afternoon, but yesterday afternoon I said something to Jonathan, and hit Jonathan's wife in a text, and it just came out wrong. Boy, and they were just mad, and I'm always walking on eggshells at that time, and I was mad at my tongue, just mad at you know, and I didn't mean it to be offensive or hurtful. But if you look at these verses on the tongue, by the way, they're on the back of the page, there could have been 1,000 of these. There are so many verses. But my favorite verse about the tongue is Proverbs 18:21. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. That is such a powerful verse. With our tongue, you know, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But how are they going to hear unless somebody is sent? The Bible says, blessed are the feet of those who take the gospel. But that tongue, when we tell people about Jesus Christ and we tell them about salvation and that seed takes hold, like we talked about this morning, and they give their life to Christ, your tongue has been a source of life for them. It has power. The Bible says that I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the what? Power of God unto salvation. And so we carry this amazing message with our tongue, but we also have the death is in this tongue by refusing to share the gospel, or by teaching there is no God, or teaching that God is not real, and, you know, doing what the world is doing today, you know, and that's again another issue with social media. I think it was better when there wasn't access to all of these teachings, where we could just one by one go and share the gospel with our neighbors and our friends and our family, and they weren't getting all, they didn't have access, especially for young people, boy, they just have access to so much anti-God stuff. Proverbs 15:4 says, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. I'm not trying to be personal here, but my mother had a really sharp tongue, and there were moments when she just broke my spirit, and just with her negative, angry, and I didn't understand it till I became an adult. But boy, that tongue, it can really Have you ever had the experience of maybe being in a restaurant or the store and hearing a parent talk to their children in a certain way, and you just want to reach that kid and give him a hug and tell mom to, you know, don't take it out just because your life is falling apart. Don't take it. And it's like, oh, it's hard. So that verse is very true. That verse that was written thousands of years ago. 1 Peter 3:10, he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Oh man, how much better my life would be if my tongue had not stumbled at times and I could take back those words, take back what I had said. That's why I'm very, you know, I had an experience where someone came to me and I shared something with them in confidence, and they went and told someone, and that person came back and told me, and that person called me and said, hey, I owe you an apology. I wasn't supposed to share it. And I was very quick to forgive because our tongue slips so much, and I need forgiveness. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Does everybody need to hear my opinion? Does everybody need to hear how I, you know? And so we have to be very disciplined. Sometimes it calls for, if you have a brother or sister in sin, go to that person. And it's not like, hey, it's all right, just live the way you want. Sometimes you have to rebuke them a little bit in love. Preach the truth in love, not in a gossipy way. Because what you want is to, if I'm going to a person with an issue, I want that issue to be fixed. I want it to be encouraged. Proverbs 17:27. He who has knowledge spares his words. A man of understanding is of a calm spirit. Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lips, he's considered perceptive. That's a great verse. Even a fool is counted wise because he doesn't say anything. Anything wrong till he opens his mouth, you know. And I remember someone gave me he's out of business now, but someone recommended, Joe Levesque recommended me a chiropractor. And I went to this chiropractor, very nice guy. Welcome, I hear you're a friend of Joe Levesque. Oh yeah, I've been doing Joe's family. He was an older man, and now I've been doing Joe's family. And so he puts me in the chair and he starts to, boy, take my neck and do this and do this. And as he's doing it, he says, man, just out of the blue, for no reason, he says, man, aren't you getting tired of these blacks? I am so tired of these blacks. And he's got his hand on my neck. And I said, boy, this guy was a nice guy till he started talking. So I get home and I call Joe. I go, he's like the most racist man I've ever met. He said, oh, well, I've never talked to him about that. Well, but that was a perfect example of as long as he was quiet doing his job, he was fine. And we hope, if I talk too much, eventually something's going to come out. That is a foolish statement. Matthew 15:10. When he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, this is Jesus, hear and understand. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, that defiles a man. And he was talking about, they were talking about eating meat offered to idols and what you should eat and how you should dress. And he says, look at the things that go in your mouth. That's not the offensive part. It's what comes out of your mouth. That's where the danger is. Well, James chapter 3 gets even harsher in the end of verse 5. He says, see how great a forest a little fire kindles. Now, we have absolute knowledge of this subject. And we're in that time of year now. I mean, Chowchilla a couple weeks ago, that fire up near Butte right now, just a little kindle. And the tongue is a fire. It's a world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members. It defiles the whole body. It sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell. Well, Pastor, you're being too harsh. Well, it just is the truth. We've all been involved with something being said, maybe by us, maybe by someone else, that just caused, it started to, whether it was gossip, whether it was saying something offensive, but it just got out of control. And sometimes you have a feud or an argument with somebody that goes on for years and you can't even remember how it started, because it started with a little spark. It started with a little offense. For every kind of beast and bird and reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. Just go to the circus. They can tame all kinds of wild animals. But no man can tame the tongue. It is unruly and full of deadly poison. That's an important verse. So if we can't tame the tongue, then how are we going to live with it? How are we going to and that's where God comes in. That's where the Holy Spirit comes in. That's where hiding God's word in your heart, knowing the scriptures, being filled with the Holy Spirit, being changed. These verses, I really grasp. They really have helped me over the years. With it we bless God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. And so that was me. And one of my biggest challenges when I first became a Christian is I had a filthy mouth. Boy, oh boy. And even to this day, I just can't watch a movie with cuss words in it. I just don't like it, because they're too... for 20 years, every other word I talked about was a cuss word. And it took me a long time. I remember when Liz and I were first married, and I think I said, I did something, and I went, oh, gosh darn it. And she says, oh, don't say that. And I said, well, I didn't say. She says, yeah, but you're just replacing it. So it means the same thing. And her idea was, in order for me to get victory over that, I had to get completely away from it. And so with it, we bless God and thank God, and then we curse his creation. Verse 10 says, out of the same mouth proceeds blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. If we're the light of the world, if we are truly have the power of death and life, then out of our mouths should come things of God, things of kindness. So we've got to really be careful. Does a spring set forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or grapevines and bear figs? There is thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. So either you're saying something good and refreshing, or you're not. And how does the Bible talk about speaking? He tells us to be slow to speak and quick to hear. And so that's one of the main tools you can use, is just stop and be patient before something comes out of your mouth. Make sure it's the right thing to say. Verse 13 says, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show you, let him show by good conduct that his works are done in meekness and wisdom. And so the Bible says in Ephesians 4:32, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven you. And there's the parable of the man who was forgiven all of his debt, but then he wouldn't forgive the little debt. And we can do that. We can bless God and praise God, and then vile things come out of our mouth because we're having a bad day. And it ought not to be that way. But some encouragement here, that God says this is not an easy thing to tame. And I'm super hard on myself when things come out of my mouth that aren't right and proper. You think I'd learn by now. I'm much better than 16-year-old John was. But I would love to be more mature than I am in that area. One of the things that causes those things to come is verse 14. If you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. So we want everything to be done by meekness and wisdom. I heard a great scriptural truth years ago. And it was, remember the verse we read this morning about you're not your own, you're bought with a price. And so I was reading from a Christian author, and he said that every time a person, and my temper was a huge issue when I was younger, angry all the time. And one of the things was that whenever a person loses their temper, it's because they feel as if their rights have been violated. So because their rights have been violated, they get angry and they feel like it's a righteous anger. You know, no, that was, I deserve that table. I deserve, who took the last cookie? Who took this? And we get angry. And he said, but if you're not your own, then you have to yield your rights. That we don't have a right to anything. Our rightful place is hell. But God has saved us from hell. And so I began to go, like when I'm getting angry, I would ask myself, okay, what right has been violated that makes me so mad right now? And I've always found one. You know, when I was coaching, hey, that you should have called that foul. We had a right to that. And when I was bowling, oh, I had that hit perfect. That should have got a strike. I had a right to that strike, and now I'm angry. So this bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. So what causes our tongue to spew is when we're bitter about something or we're self-seeking. And in my temper tantrums, since I was 2 years old, right? It is about, I want my way. Ephesians 4:30 says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed to the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. So bitterness is a tough thing. And we the world today, boy, the politicians want you angry. They want you bitter. They want you oppressed. They want you to know your rights have been violated and we're not going to take it anymore. So we're going to burn this town down and we're going to break windows and we're going to express our anger. And God says, do not let bitterness and anger and clamor and evil speaking. And so I have to be careful. I have to be in the Word and not in the news. The news makes me angry. The Word calms me down. It's very good. Verse 15 says, this wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. Have you seen how quickly the world has gone from demanding our rights, demanding to be accepted, demanding to be heard, to becoming completely demonic? It's really interesting how it's gone that way, where through, and I'm talking about violence and not just in certain areas, but that search for your rights and, you know, to be heard and to be seen and to be, that lack of humility, that's where we're going to talk about this. If you look at chapter 4, verse 1, where do wars and fights come from among you? So this is a subject we'll really get into next week, about where all of this anger is coming from. And it's coming from, as God says, the pits of hell and from Satan himself. Verse 16 says, where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. God is not the author of confusion, but the world is confused. Why? As Larry shared, I think it was in Sunday school this morning, about when he used to have his teacher read Psalms in the morning, and they used to have prayer. And then in fifth grade, you said it stopped. And once we took all God away, there was nothing left to have any foundation. And we're left with, hey, seek self-seeking. That's self-esteem. It's been something we've been, be yourself, do what you want. Don't anybody tell you what to do. My body, my choice. Do whatever you want, except when we tell you what to put in your body or not. You know, so this is dangerous. But the wisdom that is from above, verse 17 says, is pure and peaceable and gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. So when I see the anger and the violence in our culture today, against God or against businesses or whatever it might be, I feel within my flesh that that gives me a right to now respond the same way. But what God wants us to do is to be peculiar people, to be the opposite of that. He says, now the fruit of righteousness in verse 18 is sown in peace by those who make peace. The Bible says, if at all possible, live peaceably with all men. The Bible says that blessed are the peacemakers. And we're a peculiar people. And the beginning of peacemaking, and this is where it gets difficult, because part of peacemaking is sharing the gospel so people can make their peace with God. And they're going to get angry at you anyway. They're going to get angry at the gospel. But our response is not in kind. Our response is to be kind. And that's where the tongue comes in. That's where I feel if I'm being attacked verbally, that gives me the perfect right now to respond aggressively and verbally. And that's not what God is teaching here. This is a tough chapter. But it is important that we are representing Christ. Slow to speak, quick to hear. Watch that tongue. It is a vile thing that God says is from the pits of hell. And so that's his words. Lord, we all in this room need help with this, Lord. We see, God, I have a front row seat this weekend to what the world and the teachings of the world and the confusion of the world are doing to my own children. And Lord, it breaks my heart. It grieves me. And as the anger is thrown towards me, my natural response is to rear up and be angry back. But Lord, I know it's the wrong thing to do. So Lord, help us to be kind and yet strong in the word. Help us to be teachers, but be teachers of the word. And Lord, help us with this tongue. It gets us in trouble. We need your help with it. We can't do it without you. In Jesus' name, amen.